If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy.
From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest-selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama. In the Skippy Hollywood Theater. With Bill Goodwin in the unusual drama, One Third of Life. Now here is our director, Les Mitchell.
Welcome to the Skippy Hollywood Theater, ladies and gentlemen. We believe that we have a most unique presentation for you this week, since we are presenting a young man who has made quite a reputation for himself as a comedian, but whom we feel is more than that, being a very fine dramatic actor. We're certain everyone in our audience has heard him on his many radio shows. Currently, he is appearing on the Burns and Allen program, and most of you have seen him in motion pictures, particularly in To Each His Own. Our story is an intense drama, which will give Bill Goodwin ample opportunity to demonstrate what a versatile actor he really is. It's nice to have you on the program, Bill.
Thank you very much, Les. Needless to say, I'm happy to be here.
Well, we want to get on with the play right now, but I'd like to continue our interesting conversation about radio and pictures after the show. Can I count on you for a few minutes, Bill?
I'll be Willie on the spot, Les.
Okay, Bill. But now let's hear a few choice words from Van the Skippy Man.
Let's suppose that you suddenly have $1 million in your pocket. I don't know, maybe you had a rich uncle or maybe you won the Irish sweepstakes. But now that you have it, what are you going to do with it? Well, perhaps you can buy a much finer home, automobile, or furniture than you have now. But I'll tell you one thing. Even with $1 million, you can't buy a finer peanut butter than the Skippy you're using right now. Skippy is an inexpensive food, but no other peanut butter, regardless of what it may cost, gives you all the famous Skippy advantages. Skippy, you see, is a new, improved peanut butter with no oil separation, no stickiness, no dryness. Skippy is fresh when you buy it, and days or even weeks later, when you're right down to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar, your Skippy is still fresh and sweet and easily spread. You might consider this, too. Even millionaires, they tell me, are very fond of peanuts. For that matter, who isn't? Now, it's a fact, if you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. For Skippy tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. Yes, Skippy is truly a luxury product at a low price you can well afford. Try Skippy soon, won't you?
Thank you, Van Vessatel. Now, curtain going up. Places, everyone. Curtain. The curtain is up, and here's the play. The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of One Third of My Life, written by Alfred Bailey and starring Mr. Bill Goodwin.
He could murder her.
Or she could murder him.
Okay, he poisoned her.
Or she poisons him.
The medical examiner suspects him.
Or the medical examiner suspects her.
Yes, it's good.
It smells.
It does smell. It does. I just can't think anymore. How can I create a story, Joan, when I can't even think?
Victor, you say that every time you write, but your stories always manage to come out healthy and strong.
Now, I've got to have this story in by the weekend, or my contract with True Thriller Magazine is finished.
You'll think one up, Victor. You always do. After all, you haven't been feeling well all week. How is the pain, dear? Better?
Oh, yes, yes. The only pain I have now is knowing that I have a dormant brain.
You're tired out, Victor. Why don't you lie down and rest until Dr. Keith gets here?
Oh, is he coming here again?
Well, that's a fine thing to say about a good friend like Bob Keith. Besides, being a thorough doctor, he's interested in you. You should appreciate him.
I'd appreciate him much more if he weren't so elusive. Bob's a doctor. He should be plain-spoken. Why doesn't he come right out and tell me I have a cardiac condition?
Because you haven't. There's absolutely nothing wrong with your heart.
Now, Joan, my brain isn't that dormant. I know that the constant pain I have in this region isn't caused by my corn.
Oh, how lucky you are that I didn't realize you were a hypochondriac until after our marriage.
Mm. What's your diagnosis of this pain, Dr. Joan?
The same as Dr. Keith. A good case of indigestion caused by your stubborn persistence in having pancakes before going to bed.
Where'd you put the newspaper, Joan? As long as your confederate is coming, I'll go upstairs and rest.
I haven't seen it, dear.
You were reading it here a few minutes ago.
Was I? Oh, that's right, dear, so I was.
Oh, there it is. You're sitting on it.
Oh, Victor, why don't you spend the time napping instead of reading? There's no news in it anyway.
Now, hey, is there something in that newspaper you don't want me to see? Give it here, I'll come and get it.
Victor, don't you dare.
Give me the paper.
Stop, Victor, you're tickling.
Well, of course, give me the paper.
Oh, Victor, stop. Oh, here, I'll give it to you. There. Oh, Victor, now you're going to become upset.
About what? What's in it?
Mac Davis. It's on the financial page.
Mac Davis? What about that pathological crook? He robbed someone else?
Probably.
Isn't that lovely? Picture and all. What's this? What? Joan, did you read this? $2 million.
Yes, dear.
We had $2 million stolen from right under our noses.
Now, Victor, that's silly. You've been out of that firm for a year.
And why? Why am I out of the firm? It was my father's business and my grandfather's before that. Why isn't it mine now? Because I was fool enough to take Matt Davis in as a partner. I was too blind to see him as the thief that he is.
Oh, Victor, why call back the past?
Because it's the past that made me capable of feeling this hatred, which I never thought possible.
What a frightful thing to say.
Ooh.
Oh, what's the matter? Did you have another pain? Victor, are you in pain?
Oh, ooh. Sharp pain leaping around in my heart.
Oh, why did I let you see that paper? I knew this would happen.
I'm going to lie down.
Oh, do, dear. Dr. Keith should be here very soon. Oh, that must be he now.
I'm going upstairs.
No, all right, dear. I'll send him right up.
No hurry. No hurry. Oh, I'd like to rest for a while. Oh.
Hello, Bob. Come in.
How's the patient?
Oh, he is such a worry to me. He just went upstairs to ferment because he read about Matt Davis.
Well, Victor certainly got a dirty deal, but it's too bad he learned about it.
What do you mean, Bob?
Sit down, Joan. I'd like to talk to you.
What, Bob? What is it? Is there something wrong with Victor?
Joan, I'd rather do anything than have to tell you this. But I feel it's my duty as your friend and physician to prepare you.
Prepare me? Bob, what are you trying to say?
Bad news, Joan. Extremely bad. Unfortunately, these conditions are of short duration. It's difficult, but you should be and must be told. This type of heart ailment usually proves fatal within 3 months.
Oh, no. What are you saying? Isn't there something that can be done? There must be something there must be.
Control yourself, Joan. You must. Victor will hear you. He mustn't know.
I know now.
Oh, Victor.
Victor, what are you doing here?
I've been standing up here listening to every word. I heard my name mentioned, and I had to eavesdrop. Don't cry. I'm glad I know. I told you the pancakes were guiltless.
Oh, Victor.
I've been blessed with a happy life with you, so I can greet my oncoming sleep without sorrow. I'm heavily insured, so you'll be amply provided for, Joan.
Oh, Victor.
I have no regrets, darling. That is outside of Matt Davis. I'm glad I know, because now I can plan my last month. 3 months left to live. And believe me, I'm going to live a lifetime every minute.
Oh, dear, don't talk that way.
Stop crying, Joan. Remember, death, so-called, is a thing which makes men weep. And yet, a third of life and sleep. Three months to live.
3 months can be a complete lifetime.
But I may have only 2 months left.
It can be a century if filled with accomplishment.
Or perhaps just 1 month.
Some men accomplish in 1 day what others don't in centuries.
But what is there for me to accomplish?
$2 million.
Matt Davis.
You're going to die anyway.
I'm going to die.
While he lives luxuriously with your money.
No. No.
accomplishment. Accomplishment.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon. Matt Damon.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Vic. Well, how are you? Good to see you. Come in, come in.
I'm surprised you were into me.
Oh, fine thing to think about an old friend. Why, I'm glad to see you. Jeanette and I were just talking about you last night. How is Joni?
Fine. How's Jeanette?
Great, great. Looks younger than ever. Found a new beauty shop. Must have her tell Joni about it. Place of miracles, she says. Oh, sit down, Vic. Sit down. Had a cigar?
No, thanks.
Say, incidentally, your stories are great, great. Always take one to bed with me. Puts me off, you know. You never get to sleep without a good mystery. I was just telling Jeanette the other night what great stories you write.
With all the talking you do to Jeanette, when do you get a chance to see Vera these days?
Oh, that's right, Vic. You remember Vera. Oh, but of course, she was your bookkeeper a good many years.
Too many.
Oh, but she's a thing of the past. I understand she married some rich guy out in Missouri. She sure picked the right state, huh, Vic?
What do you do for relaxation these days, Matt, besides count your money?
What did you come up here to see me for?
To congratulate you on becoming a millionaire.
That's mighty nice of you.
I'm a mighty nice fellow, Matt. I even congratulated you when you stole the business from me.
I see. That's how it is, hmm? You still feel that you should have been supported by the sweat of my brow?
That's a new twist to an old song. It used to be that I existed only because of your great business acumen.
Look, I have an early business appointment.
Whom are you planning to swindle now? Keep your finger off that buzzer, Matt.
Vic, what in heaven's name?
That's right, a revolver. You see, I came well prepared. You educated me. Push your chair away from the desk, Matt.
You gone mad, Vic? What's the matter with
you? Put your chair away from the desk. That's far enough. I just don't want you too near the buzzer.
Well, Vic, what's the meaning of this?
I'm going to die, Matt. I'm lonesome.
You're out of your head. You are, aren't you?
Frankly, no. You see, I found a solution to our problem. I feel you cheated me. You don't. I'm sure you'll agree there's only one judge who can settle this.
You're mad. It's your writing. You've let those mysteries warp your mind. But you can't do that, Vic. Guns and killings are all right in your blasted stories, but not here in my office.
Stay in that chair, Matt.
Listen, Vic. All right? I'll do whatever you decide. I'll tell you everything. Yes, I did. I swindled you. Vera and I both did. She was an excellent bookkeeper. Masterful at changing figures.
Don't move for that desk. I hope you can be trusted now, Matt.
And the curtain is down on Act One of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of One Third of My Life, starring Bill Goodwin. But right now, let's lend an ear to our famous peanut vendor, Mr. Van Desitel.
It has been suggested that the peanut replace the bald eagle as the American national emblem, but personally, I think that's carrying things a bit too far. It's certainly true, though, that we folks here in the USA like our peanuts so much that we eat several billion pounds of them every year in one form or another. Now, somehow I just suspect that may have some bearing on the fact that Skippy is America's largest-selling peanut butter. Because you know what Skippy tastes like. Peanuts. Not those little skinny fellows, either. But those great, big, plump, super peanuts like you get roasted fresh at fancy nut shops. Now, Skippy doesn't just resemble that flavor. It tastes exactly like them. Sort of makes me hungry just to think about it. And the nice thing about Skippy is that it gives you that flavor with none of the drawbacks of old-style peanut butter. There's no oil separation, no stickiness, no dryness. Skippy stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. So if you're a peanut fancier, get acquainted with Skippy, won't you? It's the truth. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Mr. Bill Goodwin as Victor in One Third of My Life.
Therefore, the sentence of the court is that you, Victor Allen, be taken to the state prison, and that during the week of February the 1st, you shall be taken thence and executed in the manner prescribed by the laws of this state. And may God have mercy on your soul.
I'm on my way to February the 1st. But it's just 5 weeks off.
Bob Keith gave you 3 months. It's already passed. How much longer can you last?
I never felt healthier in my life.
That's because of accomplishment.
It may be due to the good diet in prison. I'm beginning to wonder if Joan wasn't right about those pancakes.
It's accomplishment. Accomplishment.
Joan doesn't think so. Joan. That's my only regret, having her turn against me for what I did.
Now, wait, you stop talking to yourself. It ain't going to help. They know you're okay in the belfry. You can't fool them.
Huh? What? Oh, did I say something? I'm sorry, officer. Sorry.
Have you ever been in a hospital, sanitarium, or other institution for observation, diagnosis, rest, or treatment?
No. You been to a doctor's prison very long?
I kindly limit yourself to answering the questions, please.
I'm sorry, I was just trying to be congenial.
Have you ever had dizziness, epilepsy, loss of consciousness, neuralgia, frequent or severe headaches? Answer yes or no, please.
No.
Palpitation of the heart, shortness of breath, pain in the chest, or heart disease?
Well, now that's a long story.
Briefly as possible, please.
Well, I had such a serious heart ailment that 4 months ago I was given 3 months to live.
What went wrong?
Nothing. I'll be going any day now.
Let's have a look. Inhale, please. Exhale.
Your stethoscope is cold.
I should have heated it up for you. Inhale. Exhale.
Find it?
And once more. Inhale. Exhale. There's absolutely nothing wrong with your heart.
What? You must be mistaken.
Your heart's perfect. I wish mine were strong.
But that's impossible.
I'm afraid you would have lived a good many years.
But that can't be. It can't. I must see Bob Keith. He's my doctor. I must see him at once.
I'm afraid they don't allow selecting your own physician here.
I want him to tell you how sick I am. I must be.
Are you sure he said it was your heart?
Sure. Am I sure? Do you know what I've staked on his word? Do you know what I've done? What have I done? What have I done?
Someone to see you, Vic. Come with me.
Who is it?
The missus.
It's about time she got here. It's been 2 weeks.
Come on, Vic. It ain't so bad for you. At least you'll be rid of her in a couple of more weeks.
That's most consoling. All right, let's go.
You know, Vic, in the 18 years that I've been working here, I always noticed one thing. When a single man comes to the deadhouse, he carries on something terrible. But not a married man. No, sorry. A married man always seems to be quiet and peaceful. Can always tell them apart. All right, Vic. Get in there. You got 10 minutes with her. And good luck.
Hello, Victor.
How have you been, Joan?
Fine. You, Victor?
Pops, I have most congenial neighbors here. They join me nightly with a scotch and soda, just as you used to.
Oh, really, Victor?
My sanctum sanctorum is right between Ripper Johnson and Hatchet Meade. We have long discussions at night.
I'm glad you like them.
You must have been a busy little bee these last weeks, or were you under the impression that I'd contracted leprosy?
Oh, Victor, dear, I am sorry, but really, I've had every minute taken these last 2 weeks between selling the house and the furniture and looking for an apartment. I've been busy day and night. You can't imagine how difficult it is to find an apartment these days. It's just frightful. Oh, Victor, don't look so hurt. I couldn't go on living there. You shouldn't expect me to.
We're allowed just 10 minutes, so we'd better stop wasting time talking about ourselves. Did you get in touch with Bob Keith?
Yes, Victor, and he said he's sure the prison doctor must be wrong. You should die any day now. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
You tell that baneful butcher that for once he's right. I will die in exactly 18 days, but because of him, not his phony diagnosis.
Now, you certainly can't blame your foolishness on Bob.
He was wrong, and you both know it. What I'd like to know is why you continually take his part.
Do we have to go on this way for the few minutes we have left?
No. No, Joan, we don't. You're right. Especially when there's something important that I have to tell you.
What is it?
You see, I've become very fond of Ripper and Hatchet these last couple of weeks. Ripper has to leave here a week before I do. He doesn't blink an eye about that, but he is dejected about his fourth wife. She's penniless, having spent all that money trying to save his life. And there's Hatchet. He has an aged mother whom he loves dearly. He doesn't know what his mother will do without him after she's released from jail next month.
Very sad. What are you trying to tell me, Victor?
Well, I decided to help them. I had my insurance company called, and yesterday a representative came. I had my beneficiary changed.
Victor, you're joking.
It's true. I had my beneficiary changed. I give you my word of honor.
You mean you've given my $100,000 to those cutthroats?
To their poor families, Joan.
You are joking. You must be.
No, Joan.
Then you're mad. You are mad. You are.
I wish you could convince the doctors of that.
That wouldn't take much effort, but I won't. I won't. Do you know why? Because I'm glad to be rid of you. Do you hear? I'm glad to be rid of you.
Joan.
How dare you do this to me? How dare you? After what I've had to put up with during these 10 years of marriage, I've flattered your ego, humored your imaginary illnesses, and you dare do this to me.
Joan, what are you saying?
You think Matt Davis robbed you. That's a laugh. Robbed you. You ruined a flourishing business in 6 months as you did everything else you inherited. You didn't take in Matt Davis as a partner through the goodness of your heart. You needed him. His hard work rescued the firm while you were preserving yourself in self-pity. After he built it up, you expected him to hand it over on a silver platter, but he wasn't the fool that you are, so you murdered him.
Don't stop it. Stop it. You don't know what you're saying.
Don't I, though? You were always as sure of me as you were of yourself. Well, this will shock you out of your self-complacency. I planned all this, do you hear? Bob, Keith, and I both did. We knew you were snooping on the staircase that night, listening to every word. We planned it all out, and you did exactly what we expected. We did it for the insurance. I don't care that you cheated me out of it now, just as long as I'm rid of you.
You and Bob Keith. You and Bob Keith.
Yes, Bob Keith. I've loved him right along. Loved him and hated you, Victor. I love him. I always have, and he loves me, Victor. He loves me.
Get out. Get out of here. Get out! I can't believe it. I just can't believe that this has happened to me.
It's as bad as one of your stories.
Her change of character is too incredible even for that. Oh, how could I have been so completely blind?
You were blinded by your own vengeance.
You say that? You're responsible for my being vengeful.
I?
Yes, you, my despicable mind.
You dare accuse me?
Yes, you with your promises of accomplishment.
Now you'll die.
Oh, yes, but you'll die with me. That's my only consolation.
I? Die? I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I'm too young to die.
I don't want to die. I'm too young to die.
Victor, dear.
Oh, no.
Oh, wake up, wake
die.
Up. Oh,
I'm
Bob is here to examine you.
I don't want to die.
He must be having a pleasant dream.
Oh, he came upstairs a few minutes ago, just as you came in by. But Victor would have you believe he's the world's worst sufferer of insomnia.
I'm too young to die.
You are, dear, you are. So let's wake up and live, shall we? Victor, wake up.
I don't want to die.
I envy him. He really is a sound
sleeper. I'm too young to die.
Only when his head touches a pillow.
I don't want to die.
Victor. Don't tell me I see those big blue eyes open.
Oh, where am I? Where am I? Oh, here you both are. Here you are in my bedroom.
Having the usual difficult time awakening.
You mean that I'm not... Where's Matt Davis?
How on earth should we know? Oh, Victor, don't tell me you spent your time dreaming about him. You might at least have enjoyed yourself by dreaming about someone romantic like me or Bob.
What's that? Yes. I was asleep. I was sleeping.
Now suppose I examine you, Victor.
Oh. I know what you're going to tell me, Bob.
Then I won't sham in an examination, Victor, because there's absolutely nothing wrong with you.
What?
You've just got to give up your eating before going to bed. That's your only trouble. The cardiograph agrees with my stethoscope. It showed your heart to be perfect. Perfect! I wish mine were as strong.
That has a familiar ring, Bob. Well, have I got a plot? Joan, have I got a plot? Did I dream up a plot?
That's good, dear. What did you dream about?
Oh, that's one thing you'll never know till you read it, Joan. But how sorry I am that Freud didn't live to analyze it.
And the curtain falls on the second act of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of One Third of My Life, starring Bill Goodwin, who returns in just a moment.
For a long time, peanut butter was considered a children's food only. But new, improved Skippy peanut butter is enjoyed by grown-ups as well as the young folk. Skippy is not only easy to digest, but has eliminated all the drawbacks that made old-style peanut butter unattractive to adults. It has no floating oil, it never needs stirring, but stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful. Skippy Creamy Style Blue Label is triple milled to a buttery smoothness. Chunk Style Red Label is creamy with crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. Both taste exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. We hope you'll enjoy Skippy soon. Now, here's our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Mr. Bill Goodwin. That was a splendid performance, Bill. And I would like to present you with my personal nomination for great acting.
That sweet music's my ears, Les. I hope the audience agrees with you.
I'm sure that they do. And now, Bill, before we went on the air, we were discussing the trend in motion pictures toward the use of radio actors lately.
Well, Les, there is, I think, a definite trend towards that. For instance, in my latest picture, Heaven Only Knows, there were a number of well-known radio actors.
Well, that's good to hear, because I've always contended for a very long time that some of the greatest actors in the world are to be found in radio. And for my money, they've been unappreciated too long. Now, I also understand you're a rancher, Bill.
Well, that's true, Les. I'm sort of leaning in that direction, you might say. I have 500 acres near Douglas, Arizona. We raise hay and grain, mostly for the cattlemen. However, we've only been in production for a year.
Well, between motion pictures, radio, and ranching, and your love of flying, I can see where you must be a very busy man, so we won't detain you any longer. Thanks for being with us, Bill. It's been a pleasure, and we hope you'll come back again.
I'd love to, Les. Love it. But before I go, I do want to thank Sarah Jane Wells and the rest of the cast for their fine performances. Now I'll just say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Bill Goodwin.
Mr. Bill Goodwin was supported by an all-star cast. Sarah Jane Wells as Joan, Edwin Rand as Bob, Paul Frees as Matt, Fred Howard as the Doctor. One Third of My Life was written by Alfred Bailey, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
Thank you for being with us, ladies and gentlemen, and we hope you'll be with us again next week.
Musical Star was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Be sure to listen each week and hear such stars as Kathy and Elliot Lewis, Bill Lundigan, Helen Mack, Thomas Mitchell, and many other great actors and stories selected especially for them. Dan Dessefeld speaking for the Skippy Hollywood Theater. This program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.